meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It is a celebratory abandoned Manitoba this morning. Get your birthday cake out. Get your party hats out. It's a special day today, isn't it, Gordon Goldsborough? Woo!
Oh, indeed it is.
Why, Gordon? Why?
Well, I think it's important, you know, because 5 years ago today, the 28th of June, 2015, this series, Abandoned Manitoba, began. And I thought I would share my favorite 10 abandoned places that we've talked about along the way.
Did you ever think that this segment would go on for 5 years and two books?
Not at all. I'd been traveling around the province for about 5 years, and I had been meeting all kinds of interesting people and finding all kinds of interesting places. And then out of the blue, I got a phone call from Jan Harding Jeanson. She was at that time a producer at CBC Radio, and she'd heard about my quest, and she invited me to talk with Terry McLeod. And of course, listeners may recall that he was at that time the host of the Weekend Morning Show. And I think it was intended at that time as a single visit. So Terry and I met. We talked about the former residential school at Bertel that was the subject of our discussion. We had a really nice conversation, and Terry asked if I would be willing to do it again on another place that I had visited. And here we are, 5 years later, we're still doing those weekly conversations.
So have you actually calculated how many episodes you've done?
Yes, indeed. Including today, there have been 230 episodes of Abandoned Manitoba. Now, I have to say, for any stickler mathematicians out there, that does not quite work out to 52 episodes for each of the 5 years. And that's because for a few months in late 2017 and early 2018, we did the series monthly. And the reason for that was that I was working on the second of my two Abandoned Manitoba books, and I just simply needed additional time for the research and the writing.
So let's talk about the books, too. How did those books come about?
Well, it turns out one of our listeners, a fellow named Greg Shilliday, was a book publisher. And I really remember it well. I was sitting at a picnic table at Riding Mountain National Park, and in fact, I was grading exam papers for a course that I was teaching at the time. My cell phone rang, and it was Greg. He was asking if I would consider writing a book on Abandoned Manitoba. My first thought was, why not? You know, how much work can it be? Well, I would later discover just how wrong I was. You know, writing a book required a lot more time than I had expected to do additional research on the topics that I had spoken about on the radio, to make sure I had the facts correct, you know, and to add more details to the stories that I was going to tell. So the first book came out in 2016, and so far it has sold over 7,000 copies. And a second book, More Abandoned Manitoba, came out 2 years later in 2018, and it's already sold over 5,000 copies.
And the pictures too, right, are such a big part of this as well.
Well, that's the thing. You know, with radio, you really can't show pictures, and yet that's such an important part of the story that's why the books, for example, can, you know, illustrate these stories as much as talk about them.
Are there plans for more books?
Yes, indeed. I'm working right now on what I think will probably be the last book in the series. And my working title for it is On the Road to Abandoned Manitoba. And the reason for that is the theme of the book is going to be the old highways of Manitoba, the ones from the 1930s, some of which are now abandoned. And this is the sort of things you can see if you travel along those old highways. The book, well, it probably won't be published until 2022.
I can just envision Bruce Layden coming up with a playlist to accompany this third book, because that's what you do on highways, right? I'm just seeing perhaps an audiobook collaboration, Bruce.
That's right. You know, and life is a highway, maybe.
There you go. Manitoban, Tom Cochran.
There you go. All right. So coming back to our series here, is there any way for people who may not have heard all the episodes to do so?
Yes, indeed. The CBC has very generously provided me with an audio file of each and every episode over the five-year period of Abandoned Manitoba, and they've been uploaded to the Manitoba Historical Society website and are available for listening. But I should warn our listeners, that represents over 18 hours of listening time.
Well, it is the pandemic, you know, instead of binging on Netflix, binge on Gordon Goldsborough and Abandoned Manitoba clips.
Oh, I wouldn't flick that on anyone.
All right. Well, we have narrowed it down to 10 of your favorite episodes. Can you tell us about this list?
And I had a tough time narrowing it down because there were just, say, so many places. But I thought, you know, which places have really resonated with me? Which ones do I still think about years later in many cases? And that's how I was able to get it down to the 10 that we have this morning.
All right. Shall we start?
You know, I think I'm going to do it in the order that we talked about them on the show. So they're not in any priority. Like, number one is not my favorite spot.
Right, right.
It's simply the first one of the list.
Okay, so let's start with number one.
Okay, so it's Matchettville School. And we talked about that back in August of 2015. The site is about 5 miles north of the town of Treherne, Manitoba. And, you know, I had to think about, well, what is it about that really made it stick with me? And I think there's several reasons. Of course, Nadia, you know that I have a fascination with one-room schoolhouses.
Yes.
And it is a one-room schoolhouse. But even more so, it is one made of concrete blocks. And I'm also a sucker for concrete blocks. But even more, it had a disastrous outcome. And there's a story there that will take too long to tell. So if anyone wants to hear the story, you can listen to that episode on Matchettville School.
All right, on to number two.
Number two is the Elva Grain Elevator, a nice little grain elevator sitting in the village of Elva, Manitoba, down in the southwestern corner of the province, about 15 miles southwest of Melitta. And my reason for choosing it, it's the oldest grain elevator in Canada, not just Manitoba, but the entire nation. And I worry because there's really no protection afforded to it. It's deteriorating rapidly. I fear it may not be with us much longer.
Number three
is the Lang House. We talked about it in October of 2015. It was, and I say was, a house that was located 9 miles southeast of Larivere. And although it was a very nice old stone house, it's gone. And the reason it's gone, it's fundamentally a story about landowner rights. You know, the owner of it was frustrated because people weren't respecting his property. And as a result, he tore it down. And I support him. I think he did the right thing. It's unfortunate. And then there's, say, another important story to tell there about that old house.
What about number four?
Number four, it has to be one of my absolute favorite. It was one of my bucket list things of my whole life. And I was able to fulfill it back a few years ago. I talked about it in January of 2016, the site of Port Nelson. It's an abandoned seaport at the mouth of the Nelson River on Hudson Bay. You know, there's so much we could talk about there. It's the story of the northern navigation through the northern waters of Canada. It's the story of grain transportation and how we get our grain to market. It's the story of government waste. Oh, there's so many things about it. We could talk at length about Port Nelson.
On we go to number five.
Number five is the Valley View Building. It was at one time part of the Brandon Mental Health Center, the facility at the North Hill of Brandon, where people with mental illness were cared for. I talked about it back in June of 2016. And again, there, the important story is the importance of the treatment of mental illness, not treating it as something that you can't deal with, that you just lock away people and forget about them, but you actually hope in the end to be able to return them to society. It's also the story of repurposing of buildings, you know, because in fact, there are plans afoot right now to repurpose the building. It's been sitting empty for a few years, but I'm told that the Assiniboine Community College may be reusing that building. That's great. But it also has a connection, that building, to my own story, my personal story, because, well, I won't say much more about it, but other than to say that if that building didn't exist, I probably wouldn't exist.
Okay, I think I have an idea of what you mean. Number six.
Number six is HMCS Churchill. And people might gather from that name that it has a military connection. And in fact, it does. It was a naval facility that was built in the late 1950s by the Navy, the Royal Canadian Navy. We talked about it in July of 2016, and it's along the road into Churchill as you're going from the airport into town. A wonderful facility. It's a good story, again, about, in this case, the Cold War spying that occurred in the late 50s, early 60s. But it's also got an interesting hook that it talks about permafrost architecture. How do you build buildings on permafrost so that they won't shift and buckle and move?
On to number seven, Gordon.
Number seven, another personal favorite, the Negrich Homestead, located about 12 miles north of Gilbert Plains. We talked about it back in March of 2017. And there the story is, of course, the hardiness of those pioneers. You know, the Negrich family arrived here in Canada. They made a life for themselves. But like many of the early pioneers, they really had to tough it out. They had a really hard going. but they did. They persevered, and they have descendants that have enjoyed a better life as a result. But there's also the story of the remarkable preservation of that homestead. I personally think it's one of the best preserved pioneer homesteads anywhere on the continent. It's almost like a time machine that transports you back to the 1890s so you can experience what those early pioneers did.
What's up next?
Number 8 is the Pine Falls Paper Mill. We talked about it back in July of 2017. Of course, formerly located at Powerview Pine Falls. There, the story is the changing demand for newsprint. Of course, that was the product that they made there. And newsprint, of course, is used in newspapers. And of course, we know that the fortunes of newspapers are on decline these days. Many fewer people are reading newspapers than in the past, so there isn't the need for the newsprint anymore. And as a result, there was a state-of-the-art, an absolutely modern plant that existed for only 9 years and was demolished. It's really a heartbreaking story.
We're getting in closer and closer to the end. What's at number 9?
Number 9 is a place called the Canoochewan Generating Station. We talked about it back in December of 2018. It's located upstream of God's Lake in northern Manitoba, quite a remote spot. And in fact, this is so remote that I have yet to get there. I have had plans for the last few years, just haven't been able to bring them to fruition. I really want to get there because it's not only an interesting little spot, it's a hydroelectric generating station that was built by a very prominent engineer, the same guy, for example, who designed the Shoal Lake Aqueduct that we enjoy the water from here in Winnipeg. It was used to power a gold mine that only operated for a short time. But really, the spooky part of the story is that decades later, an abandoned hydro generating station was still working. And not with any maintenance, not with any operators present. It was just running on its own. And I find that so fascinating.
And finally, number 10.
You know, one of the stories that really resonated with our listeners was one we talked about back in September of 2019, where I talked about a little structure that one of my friends had found under the ground along a remote highway that initially she didn't know what it was. And it took a little research for me to find out what it was. It was a fallout monitoring post. Built in the early 1960s, the idea was to detect if there ever was a nuclear detonation that was going to lead to vast amounts of radiation spread all over the countryside. And so the federal government was building hundreds of these around Canada, including about 200 in Manitoba. And this particular one was located along the west shore of Lake Winnipeg. The idea was they were going to use it to detect the radiation so that they could then send people away from the areas of radiation. This is an interesting one, mainly because we don't yet know how many of these things are still out there. We know that there were plans to build around 200 of them, but we don't know how many of those were ever built or how many of them are still around. But just as recently as last week, I found out about another one of them. So we know about a few of them, and I'd love to find more of them. Listeners were really quite interested in this story.
Now I understand that you have created something special for this week's episode.
Yes, we talked earlier about the visual element in many of these stories. And so I've created a video presentation of the 10 places on my list that shows pictures of them, along with an audio narration. And I'm going to take this video presentation, I'm going to upload it to the YouTube channel of the Manitoba Historical Society later today. And listeners will be able to find a link to it on the MHS website, located at mhs.ca.
Well done, Gordon. Thank you for this. Masterful job. What's the clue for next week?
Next Saturday, the 4th of July, is Canada Historic Places Day. It's an event that's hosted by the National Trust for Canada, and its purpose is to identify buildings and other structures around the country that are at risk due to neglect, lack of funding, inappropriate development, or weak legislation. Well, that Saturday, the MHS is going to announce its list of the top 10 endangered structures in Manitoba for 2020. And the following day, next week, we are going to discuss those 10 places here.
Gordon, thank you so much for this. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
We'll talk next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.